Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your girl, Sarah, and I'm here with Garrison, your boy. And today, we're going to be talking about a movie called A Whisker Away. We're going to be doing a deep dive into some character psychology. Heads up, we are not psychologists, so we have no idea what we're talking about, other than what is available on the internet and what we can surmise from some of these characters.
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
This movie is about a young schoolgirl named Mio who lives in Japan and is completely infatuated with a boy that she goes to school with. Luckily for her, she gets to spend as much time with her love, Kento Hinode, when she turns into a cat by putting on a mask. But there is some trickery afoot when the cat who dealt her the mask takes a human face and gives it to a household cat for a longer lifespan.
Right, and well, So the primary characters of this movie are Mio and her crush, Hinode. And this relationship, if you can call it that, is sort of like really the foundation is, it's like balsa wood. It's very flimsy because, all right, so my read on the situation is that years ago, Mio's mother left her and her dad, seemingly out of nowhere, just up and left. And this, you know, understandably caused Mio great suffering, and it didn't only affect her family life, it affected her school life as well, because the other kids ostracized her and she was basically alienated from kids her own age. But it wasn't until she met Kento Hidone when like she started to like feel some feelings, and she got a mask that allowed her to transform into a cat somewhere, and she seemingly in her void latched onto a person that had that seemed to be going through similar things that she was. So I kind of read that as her being enthralled in their similarities, even though they may not have, or they didn't really have chemistry.
So she was like, what's the word? I know what weird you're thinking of. It was it's like a euphoria or something where you don't really see the reality of the situation. You kind of make things up in your head about the actual relationship you might have. Some stalkers probably relate to this, you know? Like, oh, you know, she's single, she must love me too, right?
Right.
Or she said hi to me, or he said hi to me. Oh my god.
And that's exactly what happened, right? When she was in her cat form, he would like say things to her in her cat form that she kind of read that as like saying it to her human self. So she kind of in some ways felt satisfied, but at the same time, she actually wanted him to say I love you in her human form.
Which, you know, it's a sad thing to see. I think this movie, you know, we were talking about this before the podcast, like what we thought about it. It's kind of a sad movie, but not really. Like, it's sad because of how desperate Mio is, and how she's latching on to this one person to basically keep her happy or make her happy.
Right. She's like looking for something to make her happy, and it's like she's desperate to like find someone that understands her, because her dad got remarried and she has a stepmom now, and she has a strange relationship with her mom, and she only has like one friend that seems to really kind of just tolerate her nonsense, and everyone else is kind of fed up with her. So in a lot of ways, there's like no one else to really understand her, but in some ways she feels that Kinto does.
Yeah, and like what a strange, you know, thing to do. This is such a like middle school girl thing to do, but you know, just to latch onto somebody you said or you had like one mild interaction with is such a childish thing to do. It's like so strange. Like I think I remember doing that as a kid, but it's just a crush. But she takes it, I think, far more than a crush would.
Right, and a couple of things. So when she was in her cat form, and Kinto was feeding her, Kinto said something like, "I like it when like cats are kind of chubby." So when she like turned back into her human form, she was saying something like, "Likes me better when I'm chubby." So she was willing to change her physical self to like satisfy someone, to like satisfy some boy.
Right. Yeah, and that's definitely not healthy in any way. Like, you know, you should never change yourself for somebody else. I feel like there's like a lot of missing aspects in this movie, which kind of makes it a little bit more mysterious. Like, they never really discuss how Mio got the mask or how she met this the mask trader, like how she got into that whole interaction. And then there's like, sorry, I was just thinking about how maybe Mio tried to kill herself or something, and then the mask trader was like the devil, you know, making the deal with the devil in your last and final like moments, and he's supposed to be the devil. Sorry, total like brain blast right there. Anyway, yeah, but there's like that whole, you know, you don't ever get to see her mother, and you don't get to see that relationship, which is unfortunate. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of holes in here, but they're not too bad. It just makes you curious.
Yeah, so like you mentioning, they don't really mention how she got the mask, sort of like got me thinking that. So later in the film, it's we go to this like cat realm, and a lot of these cats were once people that like left their life because it was like too hard for them, and they thought that life as a cat would be easier. So I think that this like this mask seller cat, he like feeds on like the negative thoughts of people with the promise of an easier life, these cat masks. So I think like he sensed something in Mio that he could exploit. And also I think that the masks, so there's like a literal mask with the, you know, the cat mask where she transforms into a cat, into another persona. And then there's the figurative mask that Mio wears to she basically wears a fake smile to hide her pain. So I think that's cool if that was intention.
I think that definitely was the intention. You know, like there was this whole scene where she freaks out on her stepmom about simply stating the fact that she is always smiling, always laughing. You know, she's never mad or sad or, you know, angry in any sort of way. So the only expression she's able to to healthily like give to people is happiness. And you know, she kind of has an outburst and runs away. I really like the whole concept of the masks. I think that the cat world and everything, I think it's so unique, and I think it's a super magical like story to tell. Like, I'm curious to know about all of the other cats and their lives that they had before they got turned into cats. I think it's just so cool, like cool little world and universe.
Yeah, definitely. This kind of in some ways felt like a Miyazaki world, in how things just sort of happen and they don't try to explain things and like basically lose the mystery of the world. But let's see if I have any more notes on so what, like why didn't she like try a different strategy to attract Kento, because it's clear that it wasn't working. But at the same time, someone did say she's been trying to attract Kento lately, so maybe this wasn't like a very long kind of thing for Mio.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mio is such an interesting character, and I feel like if I was a psychologist, I'd be like, please come to my office. We really need to have a chat. because she's like, I don't know the right word for it. Like, I feel like there's like a dysphoria involved, you know, like she's completely not in reality, completely disillusioned, and has this idealistic made up world in her head where her and Hidone are together, and it's super creepy.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just slipped my mind.
Was like, it about the...
Can you say that again?
If I was a psychologist, I would want her to come to my office, because she's like got dysphoria and she is delusional.
Okay, I think I was gonna say something like, we did mention this earlier, or you mentioned this earlier, like something like she felt sort of like maybe this like her story was an allegory for suicide or something.
Right.
And when she was with Kento in the pottery shop, she was like, she was saying to herself something like, I have the quotes. All right. So she used to wish that the world would end. And like she was saying that before she had met Kento, so like that's pretty worrying to like hear someone say that the world would end because it was such a dark place.
Mm-hmm.
Which definitely leads to what you're saying about the counselor, but at the same time, would she have accepted it because her stepmom seemed like she kind of knew something was off about her and like wanted to like help, but Mio wasn't willing to open up. And I think because she's been alone for so long, she didn't know how to.
And I don't know the culture of Japan either, you know. I don't know if it's a regular thing that people go to see therapists like they do here in the United States. Like I would say it's probably more normal to go see a therapist than it probably would be in Japan. That I could be completely off basis with that, but...
So I figured out what I wanted to say in your regards to, like, counseling and stuff. So saying that sort of triggered a movie that we recently talked about, A Silent Voice, and how the main character in that film, he didn't see their faces because like he was like distancing himself from them to like not feel like vulnerable. And mm-hmm. we see in certain scenes that Mio also does this, and like she basically doesn't see people as people, and she like sort of sees them as like these faceless beings. And there was the scene when she ran away from home and she saw her dad and her stepmom for a brief moment as these like faceless scarecrow thing. So I think there may be some similarity with the main character from A Silent Voice. And
Yeah, I wish I knew more about like a term that I could use to describe that. What did my therapist used to say? There's the word that she used to describe me as. It was like
dumb.
Oh wow.
Go ahead.
What therapist calls their their patient dumb? No, you're just dumb. It was like where I just completely didn't care. I wish I could remember it. It was like, it's just to describe somebody that has no feelings whatsoever about anything.
Apathetic? Is that?
No, not like that. Not apathetic. It's like, I'll let you know if I think of it, but yeah. And that just, it reminds me of like that where you see the world in such a distorted viewpoint where you are just like, okay, so like imagine being really, really warm or like really, really cold, you know? And like being cold is like emotionless, and having that warmth is like having emotion, you know, anger, happiness, sadness, fear, whatever, you know, else. And like the cold is having like no emotions. That's basically what it's like, but you know, towards people. But with Mio, in Mio's case, it's she only has the warmth towards one person, and everyone else she's completely cold with. And I think that's really, really dangerous. And I'm surprised this movie turns out really nice, because it could have gone a very different way.
All right, so. So is it basically like saying, so like say a person who like puts their hand over a fire, but they don't think about the fire and they like think of something else. So the fire is the people that are like hurting you, but you like disassociate as not feel the pain, but at the same time it's still fire, so it's like still burning you whether mm-hmm. you realize it or not.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot like that. Like you don't realize, and you could be the fire too. Like you may not realize the pain you're causing for other people.
Which is what happened in this.
Right.
So Kento, we haven't really talked about him, but I think he's an interesting character on my second watch. So like he's like basically burdened with like he's expected to take care of his family when he comes of age, because his father died and his grandpa, who owns the pottery shop and like sells pottery, he's like losing his sight and stuff, and they're going out of business. So Kento feels the pressures of like needing to exceed in class, so he has to like study a lot. But and I guess it's implied that his like mom wants him to like have like a steady job, most likely a monotonous job that's not very creative, but he really likes pottery. You know, pottery is his passion, even though he's not very good at it. So he has like a creative side that's not really being nourished except by his grandpa. So I think that's interesting. And you know, what's cool is that Kento, he admires Mio's like confidence and her ability to just like say whatever's on her mind. That's cool that he admires that about her, and I think he's kind of jealous of that too, and that may be why he's kind of cold towards
her. I could see that. Yeah, his character, I feel like he's very level-headed, you know? I feel like he knows his situation very well, and he's doing the best he can with what he's dealt. And Mio kind of comes in and is kind of a chaotic, like, the chaos card.
So you saying that sort of made me think of something. So Mio is like chaotic creative force that is sort of the forbidden fruit to Kento. So I think he like may have this sort of like he knows that he shouldn't, because you know those aren't the wishes of his mother, but he wants to like just be free, but you know, he's sort of like stifled in his current state. So that may be a rationalization to like why they seemingly out of nowhere get together towards the end, but I think there could be a case for that.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're kind of complete opposites in a way, you know, like they're both going through hard times, but and they may have like what is it, like shared trauma. A lot of people bond or like create relationships out of shared trauma, but may not necessarily have what it takes to create a lasting relationship. But they are still children, so I don't know. I feel like they'd end up being very good friends, you know, or lifelong friends, but maybe not romantically involved.
Right. Kind of like how, you know, soldiers have like shared trauma and like that sort of bonds them, and they can become like good friends. So I think that's a possibility, because the relationship does seem sort of flimsy and like built on like a weird concept, because like Mio's coming from like a broken place, like she was empty but like wanting to fill it with him, and then like Kento kind of for the same reason.
Yeah, although Kento, at least we see him have friends. He at least has people he can confide in. You know, he's got his family. He's got his cat, Taro, you know, like, who apparently he spills all the beans to. I don't know. It's just a very weird relationship. I'm not sure I fully understand it, and I probably could never understand it, other than the fact that I know that I talk to my animals, but none of them are also human.
Yeah, this movie would be a lot more creepy, considered creepy, if the genders were switched. Like if Kento was the one like creeping and spying on the girl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a very different story. Yeah. I don't know if I have anything else to say, unless you want to say something.
A couple of things. Okay, so one more thing on Kento was that, like, he said... Okay, so one, Mio wrote the love letter to Kento, like, even though she knows that he was, like, going through some rough times, and that he feels sort of, like, lukewarm to her at best. So her timing on that was kind of weird. And then Kento, during that same scene, said something like, I hate pushy people like you. And that's interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I felt like it was weird of him to say that, because it's not like it was her fault that he was embarrassed by her. Like, if the other students in the class hadn't have read that note aloud, he wouldn't have... I don't think he would have said those things.
Yeah, he was probably just like saving face, but yeah. So like one more thought was when Mio is a cat and she like traded her humanity to like be a cat forever, and she was like slowly losing what it was to be a human, and I thought that was like absolutely terrifying. You may consider that like Alzheimer's or something, to where like she like slowly sinks into silence because she can no longer understand people or have an inner monologue, and That's like that, super terrifying.
Yeah, that would be terrifying. Now that you have that in my head, that's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, so that was kind of my final thoughts on that. Overall, it was pretty decent. It had really great visuals. Animation was good. Color, sound. I'd give it like a 7.
A 7, okay. I'd give it a 7 too. It was a good movie. I don't know if I would watch it again.
Yeah, that's fair. Any last thoughts, or are you done?
I think that's it.
All right, thanks for tuning into Saga Podcast, and we'll catch you next time with Neza, Chinese movie. Yeah.
Yay! Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you, head off, that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, anything that you like, appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.